Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. It's Friday, February 11th of 2022. It's our show number 671. Our show number 671 as we march towards broadcast show number 700. And we're having a special celebration that we're working on. Now, I'm here to tell you all about today's broadcast of the All Know Hair Radio Morning Show. First, a quick program note. Now, coming up next week, the Hair Radio Morning Show welcomes an amazing lineup, including legendary hairstylist Eugene Davis, new Vet Talk radio show episodes, and so much more with lock hairstylist Shakora, Mr. Trichology's Kate, and of course, Mary Reed Johnson helps to round out the week. Join me, Carrie Hines. Now, on to today's very, very special edition. It's all about the incredible story of superstar Supreme singer Mary Wilson's last assistant, right before her death, just about 1 year ago. His name is Nicholas Stiles, and he'll be with us from 6 a.m. to 8 Eastern Time with his retelling of this incredible story about their relationship. Now, then at 8 o'clock this morning, so that's about 7 o'clock Central Time, from 8 to 9, Nicholas will be with us live on the air to answer your questions and mine and help us to co-host for the hour. Now, he's got a lot to say, and we have him right here on our broadcast. So what you want to do, call in at 516-453-9458 if you have not done so already. If you have, just press 1. And that'll be our indication that you have something to say directly to Mr. Nicholas. So I want to thank you guys for always supporting this broadcast, and especially to our amazing, amazing legacy advertisers like Rugged Evolution, FixYourFeet.com, and the entire sponsorship family that allows us to bring this broadcast to you each day. So let's get it started. Stay tuned.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
All right, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Terry Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest joining us today from the world of fashion. And boy, oh boy, does he have a story to share this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Okay, let's bring to the line Mr. Nicholas Stiles. Nicholas, good morning and welcome. Yes, welcome to the broadcast. Okay, it's my pleasure. And listen, I want to jump right on in to this. This is, to me, a very big, big story. It's one that I hadn't heard about. I want to start here. You are, you had been working with a legendary music artist. You were hired to work closely and be an assistant to this legendary music artist. And shortly thereafter, the music artist passes away.
Right.
So I want to get the story with how all of this came to be. You know, the entire story. I think we want to tell this. But first, let's kind of go back a little bit. Now, where are you from, Nicholas? Where were you born? Where were you raised? That wonderful good stuff. What can you tell us this morning?
Lorain, Ohio. From Lorain, Ohio, born Lorain, Ohio, raised in Lorain, Ohio. That's actually where I live right now, because I've been back to Ohio.
Okay. And that's near the Cleveland area.
Yes, good maybe 30 minutes from downtown Cleveland.
Okay. All right. So now this person, this superstar, if you will, let's just go ahead and put it on out there. We're talking about the late Mary Wilson. You guys know her from Supreme's fame. She's been, you know, forever immortalized as far as we're concerned with her incredible music talent. And so we've got to go back. Let's start at the beginning. How did you find out, how did this come to be where you were hired on as an assistant for the great Mary Wilson?
Well, then if we're going to talk about that, we have to go back even further.
So all right.
2018. Actually, I think we should go back even further than 2018. When I was about eight years old, I was watching PBS, and they were doing a telethon to sell DVD for the Ed Sullivan Show. And I honestly didn't know who the Supremes were. I knew the name Diana Ross, but I didn't know who the Supremes were. So it was, you know, I'm watching this little program that they were doing to raise money for the station and sell these DVDs. And the Supremes come on. And they're wearing these baby blue sequin fish scale halter neck dresses. And what made me fall in love with them is their dresses. So then I started, you know, going on the internet, looking them up, and I found, you know, more videos of them and more, I found that they had more dresses and more sequins and beads. So then I started looking up who they were individually, and looking at their individual stories, not knowing that there was a connection between Supremes and Dreamgirls at the time. And well, until later on when I looked it up and discovered more of like Florence Ballard's story, and they compared it to Effie White. From there, I didn't know if you were going to say something. But from there, I had always had a dream of being a fashion designer. So when I discovered the Supremes, it kind of like felt like I found my muse of what I wanted to design. Because I've always had this idea of glamorous stuff, glamorous clothes. But I never had a face to put to it, if that makes sense. So when I discovered the Supremes, they became the face to my designs.
All of the glitter and the glamorous stage presence and the dancing and singing and those amazing songs. They have like a billion songs. And wow, okay. So you fell in love with them at that point, never dreaming that you'd be working for one of them.
Well, in 2015, December 2015, my grandmother, Faye, died. And one of the things she always encouraged was my like liking for Motown. She had a bunch of records because that was her period of growing up.
Right.
It was the 60s. So she had a bunch of records, and she'd play the records, and we would listen to the records. She'd tell me, like, oh, I remember doing this or doing this or this song. And I remember she tried to get us a tour of the Motown Museum. She died before that happened. But she did, one thing she did say is kind of, I guess, a coincidence. Everything she said happened, but it didn't happen exactly how she said it, because what she said was, you're going to meet Diana Ross, and you're going to become close to her, work with her, do all these different things. And everything she said happened, was going to happen with Diana Ross, happened with Mary Wilson.
Wow. But she had that vision.
Yeah.
And quite often, when you get those visions, they, to me, they happen, but it may not be exactly, you know, what that person had seen. But that is amazing.
Right.
So that was the beginning, and quite possibly planted in your mind as well. And it could have started you on that road and path.
A little bit. No, definitely. I love, well, Mary and Diana are my favorite Supremes. And I remember every year Diana would come to Ohio, I would try to go see her. Something would always happen. One time, so whether the tickets sold out before I could buy the tickets, or I wasn't old enough to get into a venue, because most of the time she would come to Cleveland, would be at one of the casinos, so they didn't allow anyone who wasn't over 21 in the casino.
Right.
So there was one time I had everything ready. I'm going to go to Vegas to go see Diana Ross. And this was a month before the pandemic happened. It was the week before my flight, who was supposed to leave, everything got shut down. So it kind of felt like I'm never going to see this woman. So it just kind of like a thing of it's never going to happen. But by this time, I was already in contact with Mary Wilson. January of 2018, after a phone conversation, we had never met in person before. We talked on the phone, and I had.
Well, how did she? How did you find? Did you see something on the internet that she was looking for an assistant, or how did that?
No.
How did she even know that you existed?
Well, she didn't. I don't think she knew. Well, I don't know if she knew I existed or not. But I will say when I told her who I was, she acted as if she knew who I was already. So it was never of like a question of how you got my phone number or who are you, you know, anything like that. But how I got her phone number was her hairstylist Her name is Diana, I believe. Her hairstylist posted their text messages on Facebook and accidentally, or I guess didn't realize that she posted those text messages and had her number at the top of the
page.
And so I'm like,
wow,
Mary Wilson. I knew who Diana was because a lot of the Supreme fans are connected with each other, so we all kind of know each other in one way or another. And I knew who Diana was because she's been talked about and she talked about working for Mary. So when I saw it, I'm like, that's not really Mary. Mary's phone number. It's like, that's too easy. Like, this is no way that I have this woman's number. So I text the number and I said, Merry Christmas. This was obviously, you know, Christmas. And I said, Merry Christmas, because that's the day I found it, was on Christmas. And she replied back, Merry Christmas. I don't know who this is, but happy holidays to you and your family, something like that. And then it said, Touch MW. And from her Facebook post and her Twitter post, she'd always used that as her signature at the end of her statuses, Touch MW. So I'm like, no, this really isn't her. I said, I don't think it's really her. So I got curious, and I texted the number again. This was January, though. And I texted and said, hey, I was just wondering, I'm starting a lip gloss line, and I was wondering if you would be interested in being a sampler for me. And she responded back, sure, call me. So me waiting to, you know, so I'm nervous, obviously, so I'm like, I don't know if it's really going to be her or not. So when I called, I heard her voice, and I said, wow, this is really Mary Wilson. So we talked on the phone, and like I said, never once asked how you got my phone number. The only thing she asked me was, what's my name and where am I from? That's all she asked. But she never asked how I got a phone number, you know, what was my reasoning for calling her. She was just completely polite, kind of as if we knew each other all this time.
Very kind.
Yeah. Opening, welcoming, and friendly. So, kind of put me at ease, too, because...
Yeah.
At the end of the conversation, she states that, you know, I can't help you financially with, you know, your business, but I can be a mentor if that's something that you're interested in. And I said, yeah, I actually, honestly, only wanted you to be a tester. Or just, like, sample it and post about it, take pictures wearing it and saying that you like the product if you did like it. I honestly wasn't contacting you for money. And she said, okay. She said, well, yeah, if you want a mentor, I can help guide you in the direction business-wise of where you want to be. So I said, okay. And we went from there. Like, that was January.
Amazing. Wow.
I ran a Supreme
How did you
club.
Feel? Were you not just overjoyed? Or you,
yeah,
weren't you overjoyed? And yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So now you were still out in Cleveland at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lorraine, yes.
Okay, right. I'm sorry. Yes, of course, in Ohio. Safely say Ohio. But now where was Mary at that point?
Vegas. Either Vegas or in L.A. No, I'm sorry. She was in L.A. because the address she sent me when we got off the phone was an L.A. address.
Okay.
She was in L.A. at the time.
Okay, got it. Wow. Okay. So how did the conversation, okay, great. She is friendly. She is kind. You kind of started that connection. She offered to be a mentor, which is amazing all by itself. But you're still out there. How did that conversation evolve to you becoming her assistant, though?
Well, I honestly, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think she needed an assistant. I think what it was is that she more so just wanted someone to be with her or someone around her. Because what she told me was, she hasn't really had anyone creative on her team. And when I say creative, I don't mean like, you know, creative with ideas, creative with, you know, actual like artistic skills, things like that. Hair, makeup, I can do hair, I can do makeup. So all of that is kind of what she was looking for more so. But I also feel like she wishes also, whether she knew she was at the end or not, maybe she just wanted someone to be there with her. Because when I was over there, I honestly never did any work. I sent maybe a few emails, looked up a few things.
You think when you travel, when you were over there, so when you traveled from Ohio out to Vegas, and that's where she had come, apparently left that L.A. Address and went over to Vegas. Okay.
Yeah, home
and
for
so
her is Vegas.
Home for, oh, okay. So that's where she lived. That was her home. She was based out in Las Vegas, Nevada. And so so you went out there a while ago to meet up and all of that. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes.
Okay. So
in November of 2021.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's been a long time. Okay.
Yes, November 2021. She said, "I need the system. I wish you were here in Vegas. I'd hire you full time." And I said, "Well, in my head, I didn't respond to the email like this. I said in my head, well, I can make that happen."
I'm telling you, I would have been like, somebody's at your door. That's me. I'm at the door. I would have jumped out the window and been there in 2 seconds. Of course. The great Mary Wilson.
It was 2 seconds. I had nothing planned, nothing saved. I had, when I left Vegas, I had $200 and a plane ticket and a suitcase full of clothes.
Okay. And that's plenty.
Yep. That was all I needed, because I knew a dream of mine had came true. So I didn't care about anything else, honestly.
Exactly.
What she was paying me, I would have did it for free, honestly. I didn't care about what she was paying me. I didn't care about anything. Nothing of that was in my head. At that moment, and even once I got there, at that moment, only thing that was on my mind was, I am sitting in front of someone I look up to almost all my life.
Wow. Let me just take a moment to bring everybody up to speed. Folks out there, if you are just joining us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we have a very, very special guest who is with us telling a remarkable story that he has lived. The personal assistant to one of the greatest entertainers of, you know, for the generations that have passed. We're talking about Mary Wilson of the Supremes. And I have to say, the young man is Nicholas Stiles. He, in his own right, is a creator. Well, they call now, you know, a creative. He is doing all these amazing things that we're going to talk about. And he's kind of bringing us along in this great story of first meeting Miss Wilson and, of course, discovering a passion for the Supremes and following his grandmother's great premonition that he one day would meet a Supreme, and so it has happened. I have to say, this story, Nicholas, is just unreal. It's unreal. It really is. And you're just
honestly
getting started. And it's unreal, yes.
And honestly, tell people the story, whether I'm doing an interview or talking to someone, a friend or a family member, or just talking to someone who doesn't really know the story. It kind of feels like I'm telling a dream, not really a real story. Or I'm telling something that you would hear about in a book or in a movie.
Absolutely.
Not really just happened to someone who I guess you could say, Dare to Dream.
Well, she's a music icon. She's a music icon. So now, we were at the point where you went out to Vegas, the first meeting. What happened? Who picked who up? How did you connect? You know, did she show up at the at McCarran in Las Vegas at the airport and drive you from there? Did she send the car or Uber or what? Oh, that was not your first
meeting. No, that was our first meeting in Vegas, though. But she came to Cleveland the same year that we met over the phone. She came to Cleveland, and that was our first time meeting in person. And then she also came to Detroit that following year, and she was hosting a party, and I had drove to Detroit for the party. Because Detroit, for me, is only 2 hours.
It's not so far, right, and she was close by. By that time, you guys had gotten close.
Yeah,
okay.
She was already my mentor. We were talking, you know, on the phone, not every day, or maybe like every other month or something like that. And
you stayed in contact.
Yeah.
Okay.
She would email me to check in, talk to her about me being depressed, and she would check in, see how I was doing, and things like that.
Awesome. Now, what about that first meeting, though, when she came to Cleveland? What did you, I mean, were you super excited? Did she look like you believed she would? Or how did you guys, apparently you clicked.
Well, how that happened was my birthday is August 31st, so she came in September of that year. And I had knew she was coming because I kept track of all of her tour dates. So that I could post them on the fan page that I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was coming to certain cities. I'd say, well, hey, Mary's coming to this city, or and she'll be at this place, or whatever. So when I saw she's coming to Cleveland, I looked it up and saw that it was only $15 to get in. I'm like, Cleveland, it's only $15. And I bought my ticket instantly. So I remember my mom called me. Friends text me and tag me in different posts on Facebook and Instagram, like, you know, Mary Wilson's coming to Cleveland, right? I'm like, you already know, I already know this. I've been picking up my outfit for a month now. So the night before she came, I called her because I was unsure of, like, what type of event this was, because as we got closer to the event, the venue added more information about the event. And I wanted to know what was it for myself, like I should dress up for. So it was also at a museum. So it was like, so I asked, should I dress up? Should I, you know, come casual? You know, what should I expect? And she was telling me, you know, don't worry about it. It's like, you know, casual event. So you don't have to dress up or anything like that. Well, I guess I should have thought when someone older says casual, they mean more like business casual. Because I came in there with leggings and a flannel wrapped around my waist. And everyone has suits on and...
Right. Oh, ooh. Don't you feel like you just want to melt into the ground?
Yes. Yes. I'm like, oh, my God. Because I had a suit picked out.
Right.
Was, you know, since she said it isn't, you know, I don't have to dress up. I mean, I'm not going to dress up.
Yes. Well, you know what you learned? You absolutely learned that day the difference between casual and business casual. Believe me. And that's a lesson a lot of folks don't know. But in a way, it made you stand out also and express your style to a big degree.
No, it definitely did. And it did for two reasons. So when she walked out from the back of the museum, she looked around the room. I told her I was coming, so she looked around the room. We never saw. Well, I knew what she looked like. She didn't know what I looked like. So she looked around the room and she didn't see. I guess she was looking for me. So she looked. Me and her made eye contact. She smiled and she, you know, started looking around the room again. And then she looked back at me again. She said, "Are you Nick?" And I said, "Yeah." And then she had this big smile. She was like, "Well, come here." So we kind of had like an awkward moment where She held her hand out. I held my arms out to give. She held her hand out to shake my hand. I held my arms out to hug her, and then she held her arms out to hug me. I held my hand out to shake her hand. So it was kind of like a back and forth for us. We just ended up shaking Ben's hand. And then she said, "Look what I have on." And she pointed to her lips, and it was a lipstick that I had made for her. And I'm like, "I'm sorry, I can't talk." And she started laughing. And she said, "It's okay." She said, "I'm sure you'll be more settled after the program. So after the show, we'll talk." So she gets on. It's like a live Q&A she did, a live interview. And the lady who's interviewing her asked her, does she mentor? Because they were talking about Maxine Powell and all the other mentors that her and the Supremes had at Motown. So she said, I don't really call it mentoring, more just giving guidance to younger fans. But if you see the young man sitting right there in the front row, I guess you could say I mentor him. He makes lip glosses and lipsticks, and that's how we became connected. So now everybody's looking at me like, oh, you know Mary?
Like, who are you? Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Wow.
So, that was the first time we met.
Amazing. That is amazing. So from there, you go back to, she came out to Cleveland, so you're already near your home, not too far from Cleveland. So that was that. And as you mentioned, you guys stayed in touch over the months and all of that. And at this point, she's your mentor, you're the mentee. And now your friends, what does your family think of you? I mean, because you have to look at it this way also, Nicholas. You're from a different generation, totally different parts of the spectrum when it comes to generations. Did people think you have like an old spirit or any of those kinds of things? Were you teased about being connected to some legendary artist? So how did that play in your head? And your friends, what do your friends think about this?
All my life I felt like an old soul, or I was called an old soul. For example, I remember I was younger, and there was a birthday party. It was, of course, a kid's birthday party. Uh-huh. I was invited to. Everybody, was wearing sneakers and jeans, maybe, and I wore dress pants and Stacy Adams shoes. And everybody was looking at me like, "Why do you have church clothes on?" Because it's what I felt comfortable in.
Wow. And even your communication style, it is. Feels like I'm talking to more of a contemporary age-wise, really. But that is just amazing. You put folks at ease, and we're going to talk about that. So, which I imagine went over very well with Mary Wilson. So, tell me about that.
It definitely got critiqued one of the days that I let her house. So, it was wash day, and I only had this bodysuit that I had bought, a jumpsuit I bought. It was a tight jumpsuit, and I had wore a shirt over it because I wore it as kind of like pants, so I like wore like a sweater over it to make it look like it was pants and shirt. And the jumpsuit was really tight, so she opens the door. And she goes, "Hot." And she stops and looks me up and down and just moves out the way and kind of like just lets me in, doesn't say anything. And the whole time, I'm like, well, I don't know what I did because she just keeps making these faces at me. So I'm like, either she doesn't like me or something wrong with my outfit. I'm like, well, I don't know. So it kind of made me awkward because, like I said, she really didn't say much to me. Like, she usually would. So the next day, I come over and like I said, it's wash day, so I don't have anything but like jogging pants that were clean. And I wore the jogging pants and I head over to her house. And she goes, these pants, the first thing she says, these pants are a lot better than the ones you wore the last time.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know, you said, you didn't say anything, but you kept making these faces. And I wasn't going to say anything if you weren't, but since you did. She said, I was making faces. And I said, yeah, you're making quite a few faces. And she's like, I'm sorry. And I was like, no, it's fine. It was actually kind of funny. And she's like, my thing is, when you have a big, and she stopped. She said a big, and then there's this pause, a big behind. You don't wear tight pants. I said, oh. She said, yeah. She said, I don't want to be offensive or anything, but, you know, you just, it's not flattering. Unless it's the kind of attention you want.
I said,
I understand. And she was like, well.
That's great. That is great advice that I will never unhear. That's great advice, I think. How did you take that?
Well, once again, it was one of those things that made me feel more comfortable around her. Because it was like I was home.
And she always seemed to speak her mind on television interviews.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, at this point, I wanted to ask you, Nicholas, and again, if you guys are just joining us, I'm speaking with a very special guest on the Hair Radio Morning Show. It's a very, very special broadcast. We have welcomed the last assistant of singing superstar, the legendary icon, Miss Mary Wilson of the Supremes. Nicholas Stiles is his name, and he's joining us today with this amazing story that you don't want to miss one part of, believe me. It's just, I've never heard anything quite like it. Now, I wanted to ask you, during some of these meetings, you guys met, she came out to Cleveland, you guys met in Detroit, you stayed in touch over the months. The friendship was growing, the mentoring was going on. Was there ever a point that she shared details of her journey as a Supreme with you, or did she ever talk about Diana? I mean, we want to know these things. Did she ever mention Diana Ross to you?
If you are looking for anything shady, no. But she definitely knows Diana's name. And I want to say this first. There's not one person in this world who I can't stand that I'll have pictures of in my house, hang up on my wall, or don't like or dislike. And she had paintings that she purchased of Diana by herself hanged on her wall.
Wow.
So, well, she had pictures of all of them, her, Diana, and Florence, but I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't have pictures of a person I disliked or anything like that on my wall.
Right. Right.
So,
did you get the feeling that she did not like Diana?
No, never, actually. Never felt that way at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me let you go ahead. What did she tell you? Did she call you to the side and say, listen, let me give you the real story? Did she talk about Berry Gordy and Motown and all that?
I will say this. Mary Wilson, the Supreme, and Mary Wilson, I guess say Auntie Mary, were two different people. When I was around her or talked to her on the phone, it kind of like was like I was talking to just Mary Wilson, the person, not the Supreme. So when she's telling me different stories of her youth, it's kind of just like a regular older person telling you about the good old days. But her stories of Diana were few. There was only like two or three, as she told me, that had Diana in it. And it wasn't like, let me tell you the key. It was more of like, I asked her a question, and, for example, Wilson Pickett, I had asked her a question about him, and she was telling me about a documentary they had together called Only the Strong Survive, if I'm not mistaken. It was Wilson Pickett, the documentary, Mary Wilson, Carla Thomas, and Rufus Thomas. And the reason why Wilson Pickett's name I came up with because I was asking her about Carla Thomas. Carla Thomas actually is a family friend. Rufus Thomas and Carla Thomas are family friends. And I was asking her about them. But she was telling me, she's like, I remember when we did this show, this interview, and Wilson Pickett picked up the story about us back in the day. And I said, is this a story about the car ride? And she said, yeah, you know exactly what we're talking about. So the story was, the story goes, Wilson Pickett said, we'd have Mary and Florence sit in the front, and Diana sit all the way in the back with her head down because she was so ugly. And Mary was like, everyone started laughing, and it made me feel awkward because it really wasn't funny, but it was just like, now I'm in this space because we were already going through our own little thing publicly at the time. So for him to say that, with me sitting right next to him, made me look bad, or something made me look bad. And she was like, I just hope that she didn't see that and think like, oh, there she goes again. So that was one thing she said.
Interesting. Wow.
But more of the stories were about Florence, if anything.
Well, like I said, what did she share about Florence? I mean, that is, to me, a huge, huge... Florence was the whole, kind of the impetus for the whole Dreamgirls movie, really.
Right.
So what can you tell us that she shared?
Well, what she said was, I had mentioned something about... Well, she mentioned something about my weight. And I said, I'm going to do what Florence is going to tell y'all. Then maybe end with Honey Fat is where it's at. And she started laughing, and she said, Florence, she sure was a character. And I said, I wish I could have met her. And she said, who? Diane? And I said, no. I said, well, I want to meet her too. But I said, no, Florence. And she said, oh, no, she was definitely somebody you would like. She was a person reporter like it is. Always.
And she called Diana Ross Diane always. Every TV interview I've ever seen, I've never seen her call Diana Ross Diana. She seemed to always call her Diane.
And what she told me wasn't about that particular situation, though. Well, her calling Diana Diane. It was about someone else. I can't remember who. Oh, Muhammad Ali. So... She had said he would get mad at her for calling him Cassius. Because she was like, that's what I met him as, and it always started.
Cassius Clay, yes.
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 So when he changed his name to Muhammad, it was like, hey, Cassius. And he's like, Mary, stop calling me that.
Right. Wow. So Mary had a lot of famous friends, I imagine. Like that legendary fighter. Muhammad Ali, originally, you know, first started out Cassius Clay, of course. So did you get a chance to talk to her about some of these superstar collaborations and some of the things? And how did that, what might come to mind, like some of the things that she, because you guys were going to start working on projects. And I can't wait to talk to you about what were some of the things that she wanted to, or that you guys started working on together?
Well, I couldn't say this. We didn't start working on anything at the moment. What she was more so doing was training me. She kept saying that, I know what you want to do with your career. And she said, I know what you're going to do with your career and what you're going to do with your future. So I want to prepare you for it. And I'm going to get to that later. Because you know how you said about my grandma, how she made this happen with her dream? Or her vision, I feel like Mary knew something I didn't know. And I'll say that later on.
Yeah.
But, no, one of the stories she told me, it was the first night I was with her. And we had went out to dinner. She said, well, what do you want to eat? And I said, I'm open to anything. I honestly have no reservations on anything. So she said, well, what about Thai or Japanese? And I said, I've never had either. So you never had Japanese food? I said, mm-mm. So I said, well, I'm probably going to go to this Japanese restaurant I really like. So we went to this Japanese restaurant. We were sitting there. And she ordered, she's like, well, you ever had sushi? And I said, no, just raw fish makes me uncomfortable, the idea of it. And she laughed, and she said, well, they have cooked sushi also. I said, okay, I'll try that. So she got me a thing to tempura sushi and some type of, like, vegetable sushi. So she got me both of them to try. And then she gave me a piece of her sushi also to try her sushi. I can't remember what she had. And we're just sitting there talking, and she slides me a $100 bill, and she says, well, this is your, first payment or whatever. It really wasn't a payment, it was more so just to make sure I had got around the city. And I had, some money in the city until I had got paid. So we're sitting
there. It sounds like you were just excited to be in the mix of things.
Yes. And I just was in awe. Like, I'm trying to eat my food, and I just noticed little things about her that we had in common. Like, I'm sitting there, I hate when I'm sitting in front of someone and I'm chewing my food, so I cover my mouth. That's the same. She did the same thing. She pulled her bank card out to pay, and we had the same bank. And I said, well, you have Bank of America? And she said, yeah, I have Bank of America. She said, and I said, well, that's the same bank I have. She said, they're a really good bank. I said, I wouldn't use them for business, though, but they're a really good thing to have. So,
wow.
That was something that we had connected on. So I'm just, sitting there just kind of, in shock. I couldn't even eat my food because I just was in shock.
Well, you were sitting with a real-life dream girl.
Yes. And I said, I'm sorry. I don't want to sound like I am on these excited fans, but I have to say this is so surreal for me because I've dreamed about since I was a kid and it's actually happening. I'm sitting here eating sushi with Mary Wilson, and she got it laying
wow.
She covered her mouth while she was chewing, and she swallowed, and she goes, well, I understand. That's all she said. And then I had asked her, I said, well, is there any celebrity that you had ever been around that you just felt starstruck around whether it was the first time meeting or whatever, and she said, only one celebrity. She said, this celebrity, from the first time they met in the 60s to the day they passed away, I want to say that she...
Elvis Presley.
And
oh, no.
In the early 70s.
Elvis Fitzgerald? Who?
One more guess, and I'll tell you.
Oh, okay, let's see. You said it was a female back in the 60s.
Female actress, singer. Yes.
The only one I could think of was Judy Garland.
Mm-mm.
Okay, I give
her. She passed away in the 2000s.
She passed away in the 2000s. Diane Carroll, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Lena Horne.
Lena, oh, that should have been one of the top of my list. Yeah, of course. Lena Horne, yeah, she fits the bill. She would make me nervous, absolutely. Lena Horne, another legend. We're talking about, just Stormy Weather, her big song. Just real amazing. She was across the board, had talent that spread across the board. And just a lovely lady, very talented lady. So, yes, I could get that. Wow. Well, aren't you lucky just to have Mary Wilson, superstar singer of the Supremes, telling Nicholas Stiles all of these wonderful tidbits? Now, I do have one question for you on that subject. What about the movie Dreamgirls? You mentioned it early on at the top of our wonderful talks today, but... what can you tell us? Did she ever mention the movie Dreamgirls or Jennifer Hudson or Jennifer Holliday for that much, or anybody?
To me, no. To me, no. Well, I know she was really good friends with Shirley Ralph.
Oh, she still remained friends with Shirley Ralph.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Who played the Diana part in the Broadway version
of
Dreamgirls. Right, right. The original Dina Jones. Well, yes, we know our research here at Hair Radio. So I tell you, which is amazing. Yes, well, you guys know Shirley Ralph. She went on to star in Brandy. And, of course, Brandy was on the cover of our Upscale magazine just a couple months ago. I just think there's a full circle thing going on here. I think it's amazing. And what a remarkable story. And, again, if you've just joined us, if you're just tuning in to the Hair Radio Morning Show, I'm having an amazing conversation this morning with Mr. Nicholas Stiles, who is recalling this amazing journey that he has. I think it was a life-changing journey. Supporting, yes, and being the assistant to the one and only superstar, legendary music icon artist of the Supremes. We're talking about Mary Wilson. I mean, the Supremes, you have to understand, really the most successful female group of all time. Mm-hmm. Of all time. And, just so many different things. They led the way on style. They taught the world about style. They opened up so many doors professionally and otherwise. They were just amazing. I mean, you know, when you think of it. And, you know, so we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I want to kind of talk now about some of the, you know, and I think this is going to be a little bit of the hard part, because I want to talk about what happened, you know, how all of this came to kind of a sad end. And so you're working, you're doing all this wonderful, good stuff. How did the conversation come about that you were going to travel to her home out in Las Vegas? Right before all of this happened, that she passed, what was the crux of that conversation?
Well, first I had to call my cousin. My cousin had offered me earlier that year, so this was November 2021, and in January of 2021, kind of like it's kind of like you said, full circle, because in January 2021.
Oh, okay.
And then November 2020, not 2021. And yes, it kind of like full circle, because in January of 2021, that's when I moved to Vegas. But in January 2020, my cousin had offered me kind of like to come stay with him in Vegas. He was like, you know, hey, cuz, he's like, I see that you're doing drag, and he was like, you're really good. He's like, I think that, you know, you should move to Vegas, and you can come stay with me. I'm not going to charge you anything. You know, he's like, I really want you to come out here and do drag, perform. I said, oh, I'll think about it. Moving anywhere wasn't anywhere in my mind. Well, it was, but my bank account said otherwise. So I, you know, wasn't planning on moving anywhere. So when November 2020 came, and I get this email from Mary Wilson, the first thing I could think of to do was call my cousin. And I called him, and I told him, I said, hey, Mary Wilson from the Supremes just offered me a job in Vegas to come be her assistant. Can I come stay with you? Is that offer still on the table? He said, yeah. He's like, you know, I have a roommate now, but other than that, he's like, if my roommate's cool with it, I definitely don't mind. I said, okay. So I call up Mary, and I said, hey, I saw your email, and if you need me to come to Vegas, I can do that. When do you need me to come? And I kind of just jumped the gun. She was like, no, 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 you don't have to come tomorrow. You can kind of slow down. I started laughing, and I had said, well, we can, no, sorry, she said, we can start from here and then, you know, transition you to Vegas. Going into the following year, which was 2021. And I said, okay, I'm fine with that, because it gives me enough time to, like, you know, save up my money and get everything in order.
Get things together, right.
I had an apartment here. I had, we have the best paying job in the world, but I had a job, you know.
Yes.
Had things here. So I would have to figure out, you know, my lease and all that. You know, finishing, you know, because my lease would have to be cut early.
Mm-hmm.
To move to Vegas. So
wow.
I had to figure all that stuff out. And like I said, I just have to be saved. I only had $20 when I moved to when I got to Vegas.
Wow.
I told her, and she said, okay. So then our next conversation, she had asked, she said, well, what was your savings? Let me just say something about that. And I said, well, about maybe about $2,500 if I can get that, you know, in from now to January, maybe, because I'm thinking that if I can have it by January, I can leave in January. She said, okay. She said, well, I hope you know, once you get out here, you don't have to worry about anything. I'll make sure you're taken care of all the way. And I said, okay. And being that she kind of kept her word throughout the years of her being my mentor, I thought that that was what's going to happen. You know, once I got out there, I'd be taken care of. And when I did get there, it seemed as if that was what the plan was. She asked me again after I got there, well, what was I expecting? And I told her, $1,500 a month. I felt like if I'm going to be traveling with you, $1,500, I'm sure those costs of me traveling will be taken care of, not out of my pocket. And she said, yeah, that's true. I'm sure you have your flight and hotel and food and all that taken care of if we're going somewhere. I said, okay. And then she said, so here, $1,500 a month would, you know, make sure I have a car at least when I get back to Vegas. So that if I needed to, you know, go pick them part-time, you know, in our off-season or whatever, that I could do that to make a little bit extra money.
Well, and she agreed to the $1,500 a month.
Yeah, and she did. She said if not, I'll just give you. I'll just buy you a car.
Yeah, because that's a steal. $1,500 a month. Oh gosh, wow, how awesome is that?
Yeah, I personally didn't think that was a lot. Because if we're being honest, that's a little bit under what I make at this present time.
Yes, and that's not a lot at all. That's what I mean. That is an amazing thing that you are going to assist her for that. But so now this is we're coming down to like, what was that, like November, like December, January of 2021, I think we're kind of digging into.
Yeah. We're January 15th is the day I left to go to Vegas.
Okay, so you left on January 15th, Dr. King's birthday, actual birthday that is.
It's awesome. Diana Ross left the Supremes.
Wow, is that correct? Wow.
So I kind of set that around that, actually. I did that strategically. But
wow. Wow.
Actually, day that, yeah, Diana, November 15th, 1970.
So on the 15th, you went out to Vegas. Now, so tell us what happened from there. You started working for her. And so what happened from there? You worked for her. What did your work consist of? Did you go over there every morning and have meetings? Did you stay over at night? Were you guys playing Supreme songs all day? What were those meetings about?
So what we did was a lesson, what we agreed upon. Well, let me start about the first day, the very like brunch together, kind of like a formal meeting in Vegas to discuss what she would expect from me and all that. But the first day at her house, I guess she told me to come around 11 o'clock. So I actually was kind of late. I was there at 11:05, only because of the Uber. But she said 11 o'clock, you know, if you want, you could be at my house between 11 and 12. But I was thinking that someone said 11 first. I assumed she wasn't there at 11. So I get to her house at 11:05, and she opens the door. And she's like, she's kind of like covering her head. She's like, I'm sorry. She was like, I usually don't let people see me without my wig on. And I said, well, I don't know why you have such pretty hair. Her hair was...
Well, how was her hair? What was it, like in a ponytail?
It was in a ponytail, yep. She had like something covering it with her hand. And it was, I mean, when she took it out the ponytail and brushed it, started brushing it down, it was about a little bit past her shoulders. It was silky, straight, and all silver.
Wow.
And she was like, I said, I usually don't let people see me without my wig on, but, you know, you're here now, so. And I said, no, you're your natural hair.
And it was so beautiful.
Yeah, her, and something she said, something that I noticed, it was thinning around her hairline. That's nothing that a weave can fix.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said. I told her, I said, you definitely start wearing your natural hair. I said, it's long enough that it can be worn. It's not thin all over either.
And how did she feel about that? What did she say when you mentioned that to her?
And she said, thank you. And she said, as I said, that set the tone for the next 3 weeks because she never wore a wig when we were together. Now, she wore a wig when we went to, like, Target or we went out to eat or whatever, but she never wore a wig in the house.
Now, was she ever recognized in your presence by anybody?
No.
Did anybody ever know that was Mary Wilson of the Supremes?
I think COVID had a big part of that because of the mask. She wore masks.
So that would definitely, and especially if she didn't have a wig on.
Yeah, I don't think anyone noticed who she was. Besides, I mean, we did go to her P.O. box office, and they knew who she was because she's been working with them, you know, for so long.
Right. So tell us, so did you have a chance, you said, you know, she mentioned about her children, but did you have a chance to meet or talk to any of her children?
Well, I
at that point, probably not, I would imagine.
She had 3 children. Well, she had 4, actually. She had an adopted son named Willie. She adopted him in the 60s. Actually with her little cousin who she took custody over.
Oh, okay.
And
so
then,
it was basically like she has 4 children.
Yeah. And then and she raised him as like to this day he calls her mom. Because I want to say he was about 5 or 6 when she adopted him. So he was pretty young.
Right. Wow.
And then I want to say in 75, and I only know this because, like I said, I have read the fan club and all that. So I want to say in, like, 1975, she had her first child, which was her daughter, her only daughter, Kirkesu. And then in 76 or 77, she had her second child, Pedro Jr. And then I can't remember exactly what year. I want to say either 78 or 79. She had her last child, Rafael, who passed away in 1994. Or around then. I don't want to say a certain date.
Right, but just unfortunately. Yeah, wow, what a sad story. Wow. So now I have to say, Yes, go right ahead, Nicholas.
Now, I want to say you asked if I spoke to any of her children.
Right.
Her son, Pedro, I never spoke to. Willie, I've spoken to him on Facebook. He interacts with all the same on Facebook. So I've spoken to him on Facebook, but only child I spoke to on the phone is Turkessa. And that was only because Turkessa runs Mary's business. So Turkessa is technically like HR or corporate, if you want to call it like that. So anyone who's hired or fired goes through paid and payroll and all that. Bookings kind of go through Turkessa.
So she was essentially running Mary Wilson's business, if you will.
Yes.
Part.
And
okay.
I just talked to her about being paid.
Got it.
I was supposed to talk to her in November. Never got a call. December, never got a call or email. January, never got a call or email. And then the day Mary died, which I didn't even know, sitting there talking to her, that she was,
Well, let's talk. Do you mind if I ask you about this? So the idea was that Mary instructed her daughter. Now, all of this is alleged. We, of course, want to get that on out there. But had Mary told her, do you think, to go ahead and execute the payment for you?
From what Mary told me, she had.
Mary told you she had, but...
From Mary?
Yeah.
I want to say this. Turkessa knew about me because when we first talked on the phone, which was February 8th, she said, I'm sorry it's taken me so long to get in contact with you. I, you know, I'm a mother and I have children, so, you know, I've been busy with them. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, Mary's told me about them. Her children are, I think her youngest is my age, oldest is my age, one of them. But
okay.
Yeah, so that's what she told me. So,
well, did you ever get that payment at that time, though?
No.
The payment never made its way to you?
The check never reached my bank account.
Wow.
But,
interesting.
I only, what I discussed with Mary was thing that I only did physical work when I got there in January. What I discussed with her was being paid starting when I got to Vegas in January. So I only was going to have paid maybe $1,500, you know, for that month. Or a little bit less than that. So it really wasn't like I was missing anything, if that makes sense.
Right, that's true, because you really hadn't gotten quite through the month so much.
Right.
Wow.
It wasn't like anything like, oh, my God, I need my money. You know, you're supposed to...
Right.
It was never any... I said in the beginning, I never did this for money. I only did this job for free.
And I would have done it for free, exactly. I mean, my goodness. Wow.
I do have to live, but, you know, I would have did it for
free.
Out something, you know, to make some money.
Absolutely. Well, I have to ask you, you know, as the story unfolds and you had some conversations with her daughter, who was kind of running things. Now, it's a few weeks in. What was the circumstance that you went out to Mary's house that day? Were you guys scheduled to have a meeting on February 8th? It was a Monday morning. No, please, go right ahead.
It was a Monday morning. I really wouldn't call it a meeting. I just called like a regular work day because it wasn't my scheduled days. I was scheduled to go to her house every other day. So Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and weekends if I couldn't do one of those days during the week. Or weekends if she needed me for something, like if she was doing a Zoom and she needed my help, or she was doing some type of house project or something that she needed me to do, but the set days were Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And
awesome. Okay. Wow.
Was
of February.
Go,
yes.
Go to work. The last day we would have got
Monday, Saturday, Monday, February 8th of 2019.
2021.
Oh, why did I say 2019? I'm sorry. 2021. Yes, of course. Yes. So now that Monday,
Tuesday,
yeah.
That previous Friday, because so I left February 15th to go to Vegas. I was actually kind of like staying in two places. I had my apartment, but I also was staying with my aunt because the job I was working at was closer to her house, which was like maybe like 2 hours from mine. So
wow.
I was staying with her, and also just to get out the house, I mean, I was in my apartment all the time. So, yeah, I went down to stay with her. That was, she lived near Columbus, Ohio.
Okay. Well,
and, she passed away the week after I got to Vegas.
Oh, my, wow.
My cousin's 21st birthday party, they were in the middle of the party. She was dancing and fell out in the middle of the floor and had a heart attack.
Wow, how awful.
So I flew back to Ohio for the funeral that Friday before the, so what was that, like the 6th? Is it the 6th of February?
Mm.
And then...
Probably the 5th, so yeah. Well, that... Well, Monday was the 8th, right? So
yeah.
That would have probably been like the 5th then, right?
Yeah.
Friday, 5th, 6th, 7th. Yeah, so like the 5th on that Friday.
Yeah, so that 5th I had to flew back in. Now, Mary did drop me off the airport that time. And then when I got back, I took an Uber and got to my cousin's house. But she dropped me off the airport to go to, you know, go back home.
Okay.
And her words were, you know, don't worry about me, you know, we're not really busy right now doing anything, so, you know, I know how close you guys were, so I want you to go back home for the funeral. So, and that's what I mean, and I wanted to say that because that's what I mean by how caring she was. Cause she was like,
now, did Mary drive a car, by the way?
Yeah, she had a Mercedes.
Okay.
It was a silver Mercedes.
Wow. Wow. So now she drives, so you go back home for the funeral, and then you come back out to Vegas again?
Yeah. I wasn't planning on staying in Ohio. I was going for the funeral and then coming back.
Right.
You
okay.
You know, my idea was, you know, I was coming, you know, going home for a moment and coming back to go to work. So Friday, she called me, you know, how'd you make it in? And I said, yeah, I made it in. And she said, were you coming over? And I said, well, I forgot. I completely forgot about that. I'm in the bed. I was kind of asleep. And I said, okay, well, so I'm really not feeling well anyway, so you can just come tomorrow. And it's like, no, come today. And it's like, no, come tomorrow. And I was getting ready to say, make up your mind, woman. But she,
right.
she was like, no, just come tomorrow. That way I can have everything ready for you, because I really don't have anything ready for you at the moment. I said, okay. So we hung up, and the Saturday 6th, I get up, like usual, and so I was, you know, get ready to go to her house at 11 o'clock. Then, you know, regular day, I get to her house, and she's like, you know, sorry, I haven't had any babies yet, you know, so, you know, don't mind me. I said, no, you're fine. And she said, I do want you to run a few errands for me. She said, but first I want you to look at this thermostat because I think it's broken. I'm so cold. Like she kept, just kept saying, I'm cold, I'm cold. And
that's what
so
she
fine.
Said to you?
No.
So now, just, yeah. I'm sorry. So she said she was cold. Did that raise any kind of flags or anything?
No, and it didn't raise any flags for two reasons. One, the thermostat was broken. And two, I did not know of her prior health history. Being that I never talked to anyone and Mary never told me about it, I didn't know she had heart problems or anything like that. So,
wow.
But I looked at them and said, I'm like, I pressed it, I pressed lock, everything. I'm like, you know, it's not dropping down. So I'm like, well, you don't mean, you mean, get you mean, yeah, she's like, you have a white head access to the only space heaters. And she said, no. I think I have one in the garage, actually. And I said, okay, I'll go look. And I moved everything in the garage, like moved everything around. And I don't remember seeing a space heater, but I went out there and looked anyway because maybe it was something that I did not pay attention to because it probably was something I didn't touch. So I looked and I said, I don't see one. And she said, okay. So she said, well, I do want you to run these errands for me. It was like go to the grocery store, go to the post office, and then go to somewhere else. Oh, go get the car washed. So she said, you do have your license, right? And I said, yeah, I have my license. And she said, okay. She gave me the keys. And she said, well, you know, go to the office first. Go to the P.O. box first. Pick up my mail. Go to the grocery store for me. She wrote out, she texted me the list that she wanted of stuff. And then go to get the car washed. That's exactly what I did. By the time I got back, the sun started going down. And I told her, I said, I called her. I said, the P.O. box had a sign on the door saying that they were closed on Saturdays. And she said, oh, yeah, I forgot they changed their times. And she said, okay, well, when you come over Monday, we can go to the P.O. box and get the mail. I said, okay. So I told her, I said, you texted me and asked me for Orange Fellow. What is Orange Fellow? And I said, I looked it up and it came up with some wine and door person, did they have it? And she said, no. And she said, what are you talking about? And I said, Orange Fellow. That's what you texted me and said. And she said, no, I meant to say Orange Jello. Sorry. She said it was the autocorrect from the phone. And I said, oh, okay. So I got the Orange Jello, and we started laughing about that. And then she asked, she said, it is random, but do they have Casablanca's? And I'm thinking about the movie. And I said, I can look in the movie section to see if they have it. And she started laughing again, and she said, no, flowers. She said, they're Casablanca lilies. And I said, no, I don't know. I don't know what those look like, but I'll ask. So I told her, I said, hold on a minute. So I asked the florist at the grocery store. And the grocery store in Vegas that I went to was Cartesons. So I asked the florist at the grocery store, do you have Casablanca lilies? And she kind of looked at me and was like, those are special request flowers. And I said, so she's like, you have to go to an actual florist to get those. And I said, okay. And I told her what she said, and she said, okay. Well, she said, well, I said, the lady is writing up a few florists for me to call, so I'll call Monday. She said, okay, that's fine, that works. So she said, well, thank you so much. And I said, oh, you're welcome. You know, of course. And then we hung up. We took the car wash, vacuumed the car out, got back to the house and told her. When I got back to the house, she was in the bed. You know, I just really don't feel good. It's like it's getting colder and colder in here. And like I said, the thermostat is broken. So I said, no, it didn't raise any red flags to me.
Now, this was, which day again was this?
Huh?
Which day? Was this Saturday?
Yes, this was still Saturday. This was all still Saturday.
Oh, okay. Yes, and she was kept saying it's getting colder and colder.
Yeah. So,
wow.
Like I said, I just kept thinking the thermostat. Well, she did say this, because when I got to Vegas, I had on shorts and she had on a winter coat. It was cold.
Wow.
But to me, it was warm, because how it was like 50, 60 degrees. But to Vegas, that's cold.
Right. And I lived out in L.A., so I, right.
That's
yeah.
Cold.
Oh, my. Okay, that, so you know, it might have just been that she was a little chilly. Might not have had any, no indication that the end was near.
Yeah, that wasn't anything near my first thought. And then because Turquesa had the information for the person to come and fix the thermostat, so I talked to her about that. And I told her, and she didn't seem to have any type of, like, you know, concern of, like, you know, what do you mean? What do you mean, you know? So it wasn't like anything was off, if that makes sense. So I, you know, get in the house, and it's about 5 o'clock, and my time to be with her was 11 to 4. And she's like, I know we talked about 11 to 4, but do you mind staying and helping me with a few more things? I said, yeah, of course. And she was like, there's a spot on the floor by the chair that I sit in. I spilled some blueberry juice, the juice to the blueberries that she had on the floor. And I said, okay, I'll scrub that up, and I don't mind doing that. She's like, are you sure? She's like, I don't want you to... No, she said, she's like, just wait a moment, because I want you to set up my TV for me. She wanted me to set up Hulu and Netflix on her TV. But she told me about the spot, and she's like, I'll get up and clean it up when I... And I said, no, I'll do it. So just tell me where everything is at. She's like, are you sure? Because, like, I don't want you to have to do it. And I said, I definitely don't mind. And she's like, well, can you bring me my medicine? What medicine that is, I really don't know, but it was like a prescription bottle. So I don't know what that was. But I brought her medicine and a cup of water. And it didn't seem like anything out of the ordinary. It just seemed like how I would do with my grandma, my great-grandma. So she eventually does come into the living room, sits in the chair. And she's like, I have this steak in the refrigerator. Can you cook that for me? You know, since you say you can cook. And I put the steak on, and we're sitting there talking, and she was like, you know, I'm sorry that I'm keeping you so late, because by this time it's about 9 o'clock. And I'm like, no. I'm like, honestly, I don't know if I told you this before, but being with you, being around you, reminds me of being around my grandparents, my great-grandma and my grandma, who all passed away prior to me coming out to Vegas. And it kind of is like I get that time back with them, with you. So I appreciate that. And I said, no, I said, I definitely don't mind doing anything you need me to do. And I said, if you ever need me to stay later past the time that we have scheduled, I'm not going to ever ask you for extra money to do that. I'm doing it because I want to. Which, so I appreciate that. So then she went on again about being cold. And she said, come here and feel me. And so I touched her arm, and her arm was cold. So, her arm was cold. So I was like, are you sure you don't want me to go get you a space heater? And she said, no. And then she was like, feel my nose. It's cold, too. So I felt her nose, and it was cold. So I'm like, are you sure? Because I definitely don't mind running to Walmart or Target to go get you one. At least after, I mean, like, I looked them up while we were sitting, while I was sitting here. It's only $20. So I definitely don't mind going to go get you one. So she was like, yeah, if you really don't mind, please. So I went to Target. Target was cool. By the time I got to Target, it was like 10 o'clock and they were closed. So I went to Walmart. Walmart had space heaters. I think it was like $9. So I ended up getting two. And I set up one right by her chair, and I set up one on her her like island in her kitchen. And by the time I got back, it was about 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock, 11:30. And she said, I want to say something to you before you go. Well, actually, the first thing she said was, well, do you want to stay tonight? And she said, being out so late, and I wouldn't want you out so late. I said, no, it's fine. I mean, if I can get an Uber, I definitely don't, you know, it doesn't matter. He said, are you sure? I said, yeah, it doesn't matter. And she said, well, you know that extra bedroom is yours whenever you need it. I said, no, I know, because she had already discussed that with me. So she had asked again, you sure you don't want to stay the night? And I said, that time, no, because I don't have any clothes or a toothbrush with me. So I told her what she said was, well, Monday when you come over, bring a bag with you of clothes and a toothbrush to keep here, so that if you ever do need to stay the night, you have clothes in the extra room. I said, okay, I can do that. Yeah, I definitely don't mind doing that. I said, that'd be a little bit more convenient than having to drive home and drive back. Because what I could have did was I could have took her car and drove when I was already out to go get clothes at my cousin's house, because the Walmart I went to was right by her apartment. But it wasn't brought up then, and I didn't think about it. So she was like, well, I did tell her, I said, my Uber did connect, so he should be here in about 5 minutes. And so she said, I want to tell you something. I know I told you to give me about a few months to see if we work out as you being my assistant, but she said, after today, I definitely think that we're going to work out, so you are definitely my assistant, and you will, something like, she said, I appreciate, you know, everything that you've done. And that was the last thing she said. Well, besides, I said, do you want me back to the door? Because the door from the outside, because I need a key to lock from the outside, because it's only a bolt lock, the top lock. And she said, no, when I get up to go to the bathroom, I'll get up and lock the door. So we take a night, and that was it. Sunday.
That was Saturday night.
That was Saturday night.
So what happened on Sunday? There was no, yeah.
I didn't have any communication with her. I didn't, you know, because it was, like I said,
it was your day off, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Monday morning, here we are Monday morning. And I know that you have mentioned about going to the P.O. box and all of that and lending a hand, and it's your work day. So what time did you head over there?
Around 10 o'clock. I texted her.
10 o'clock.
And I said, hey, good morning. I said, hey, good morning.
Uh-huh. Now, I do want to ask you about the house. Was this a big house? Was it a row type house? So what did
–
what can you describe
it?
It was a gated community.
But it wasn't a big house. It was like an average four bedroom. No, sorry, three bedrooms, one floor. Three bedrooms, two bathroom, one floor house.
Okay, so it sounds nice. Okay.
It was not, like I said earlier, Mary Wilson the celebrity, Mary Wilson the Supreme, and Auntie Mary were two different people. Mary Wilson Supreme, I always thought she had this big, grand, elaborate house. But being that when you really think about it, she is a woman, an older woman, living alone. It was enough, I felt enough for her.
Understandable. So now I wanted to ask you also, how was her home decorated? Was there a lot of memorabilia about the Supremes all over all the walls? I think you mentioned it earlier where there was pictures of Diana Ross. But were there other things that you noticed? What about her clothing and stuff? Did she have a lot of the old outfits from her days as a Supreme?
Well, the old outfits are in her storage unit. I want to say the storage unit is in L.A., so that's not those costumes are not in her weren't in her home, but she did have you know, her clothes and her, you know, her shoe, her she had a bunch of shoes and wigs and we sat and went through those posts together. Her way.
Yes. Right, personal effects, I was saying.
Yes.
Listen, I think this is just interesting. I have to say, you have to tell us that Monday when you went into work about 10, I think you said,
I didn't go in at 10. I didn't go in at 10. I woke up around 10. And
oh, you woke up?
The first thing I did is text her and said, hey, good morning.
Uh-huh.
Did you want me to go to the P.O. box before I got to your house, or you told me to go take the car and go? Because the P.O. box was on the way from where I was living to her house. I had to pass by it, literally, to go to it. So it only made sense for me to pick up the mail and then go to her house. So my cousin, he was home. My cousin's a traveling chef. And so he was actually home that day. And he was like, well, cuz, I'm a barbecue. You know, since I haven't been home, I'm a barbecue. I'm like, okay. So we're cooking. I'm making macaroni and cheese, greens. I think I made baked beans, and I'm making all the side dishes. He was making all of the, like, the meats and things like that on the grill. And I looked at the time, and it was 11 o'clock. I said, oh, shoot, I'm late. And I said, I didn't have the Uber requested. I wasn't dressed, nothing. So he was like, oh, yeah, you better get over there. So I called, no answer. So I'm like, maybe she's, you know, maybe she just didn't answer the phone. She never texted me back about the P.O. box. But again, I didn't think anything of it.
Now, about what time was that you had texted her again about the P.O. box?
Well, that was at 10 o'clock when I had first woke up.
That was the first time. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, when I first woke up, I just...
No answer, no response.
Mm-mm. And like I said, I didn't...
And that was unusual, though, no?
Mm-hmm.
But wasn't that unusual?
Mm. No. Because there was a few times where I sat with Mary and her phone ring, and she was like, well, I'll call them back later.
Got it.
So, and like I said, it was 10 o'clock in the morning. I thought she was maybe still asleep.
Okay, wow.
I mean, the only reason why I was up because I had to go to her house. I'm a night person. Mm-hmm. You're not a night person. I'm
a late you... sleeper. Yeah, okay, wow. Okay.
So, yeah.
Wow. So now, at what point do you head over to Mary's house
on that awful day? So,
okay.
It was after 11, and like I said, I was late. So, I get there around like 11:20, maybe, and knock on the door. Well, I'm on the phone with Turquesta, actually, because we were talking about the gate code never... In the 3 weeks I had been there, the gate code that I had received never worked for me. The way I'd get into the gate is if someone else was driving up and they had like a button.
You could go behind them.
I could go behind them. Or Mary would pick me up or whatever. That's usually how I would get in. So, like I said, the gate code never worked. And she's like, you sure? So she gave me another one. That one didn't work. So she's like, well, just drive up with how you usually get in, and then we'll go from there next week or later this week. And I said, okay. So I get to the house, knock on the door. This time we're off the phone. So I knock on the door, no answer. Knock on the door, no answer. So I call, no answer. So I call Turquesta. I said, hey, do you mind calling your mom because she's not answering the phone for me? I knocked on the door. She's not answering. She's like, with the car in the driveway? And I said, well, I moved all the boxes in the garage so that she could move the car into the garage. And she said, oh, yeah, I forgot that you. She said she was having you do that. She said, okay, well, I'll call her. So I hear the phone ring, no answer. The house phone is ringing, I should say. No answer. So, she said, well, maybe she said, does she have an interview or something like that or something this morning? And I said, I don't think so because from what we discussed, she didn't have anything. He said, maybe something just surprisingly came up. She's like, is she doing that? Because she would do this, like, little, like, live podcast. She's like, is she doing that live podcast? And I said, I don't think so. Because it wasn't in what we discussed. So she said, I said, okay, I will, I said, well, what do you mean to do? You mean to wait until she wakes up? If she's asleep or until she gets back home? And she said, no, you don't have to wait. You can just go back home. So while I'm waiting for my Uber, we're talking on the phone and talking about, she's getting to know me. I'm getting to know a little bit about her. And we're discussing my pay and my expectations of them and all this. And like I said, this is the first time me and her has had a conversation about payment or anything like that. So we're discussing this. My Uber comes, and I told her, I said, well, my Uber's here, and we kind of ended the conversation anyway by the time my Uber came. We kind of were just talking at that point. So I get back to my cousin's house. By the time I got back, the food was done. So we're sitting there eating. And about 2 hours later, she calls me and says, hey, me and my husband have been calling her. She's not answering the phone still. And now we're getting concerned. You mind going back over there? I said, no, I don't mind. Just give me a moment. I got to take another Uber. She said, okay. So my cousin goes, you think something's wrong? And I said, no. When I got back, actually, he said, you think something's wrong? I said, no. I said, I just got home. He said, okay. And then when I told him I'm going back over there, he asked again, he's like, you think something's wrong? And I'm like, no. But honestly, I don't want to think about it, so I'm not even thinking about it. I get an Uber, go back over there. I was tired at this point, so I ended up falling asleep in the Uber. I could see when I woke up, he was looking at me out of the rearview mirror, like.
Wow.
So by the time I got back over there, it was about 5 o'clock. And the sun had started
going down. In the afternoon.
The sun had started going down and everything like that. And I called her, Kessa, and I was like, hey, I'm here. I knocked on the door. They don't answer. She was like, well, you said the car isn't in the driveway. She said, no. No, it's in the garage. She was like, well, is there any way to, like, get in the garage or see through the garage? And I said, no. She said, okay. She said, what about the windows? Can you see anything from the front door? And I said, no. There's this wall that blocks kind of like the living room. There's a front window by the front door, but there was a wall that blocked, like, the view into the living room, if that makes sense.
Got it. Yes.
So, she's like, well, go around to the back and look through the windows. My only thought was, you know, I'm in this neighborhood. I don't know anybody in this neighborhood. Nobody knows me. You know, all you see is this man walking in the back looking through windows. That's not suspicious at all. So I'm like, are you sure? And she's like, yeah, could you please? So I looked through the windows. Her bathroom light was on, so you could see through that window. I want to say this first. All of her windows, at least in the back of the house, were tinted. So you couldn't see through them.
Unless you got up close. Light.
Unless you got up close or there was light on.
Okay, got it.
So her bedroom, I could see through completely because there was lights on. Her bathroom light was on. Then she's like, well, look through the, what about the patio doors? Can you look through them and see anything? And I said, no, it's dark in the living room. So I was like, there is a window by her chair. I looked through that. So I got close, and I looked through that window, and I'm like, I kind of see like a shadow of like, I don't know if it's her feet or it's like a figure. And that's all I see, is like, but it's pointing downward. And then she said, what do you mean? And I'm like, okay, so if this is but this is what it is. I said, so you know how you lay down and you're laying on your back and your feet point up?
Yeah.
This is like she's laying on her stomach and her feet are pointing down. And she's like, okay, well, is there any other way you can get into the house? I said, no. She said, well, let me call the realtor and I'll call you back. So she calls me back. She tells me to call, you know, to call the police. So the police come, the fire department comes, and the ambulance come. I explained to them on the phone what I saw. I probably was stuttering the whole time because at this point I'm nervous.
Of course.
I've never had to do this before. I want to say this. I've never had to do anything like this before. So it was to me. That's when the police, and they all come. And I can't remember who followed me to the back, but it was about a good 3 or 4 men followed me. And I explained to them what I saw, and they looked at me like I was crazy. When I said I looked through the window, couldn't really see anything, but I saw feet. So I'm like, they're like, okay. So I told them, I said, if you get real close and look, you could see the shadow or the outline of her feet or someone's feet. So I guess he did see, because as soon as he looked at his other, as soon as he got, you know, started looking through the window, he looked at his, the other person who was there, and that's when the other person shined the flashlight through the window when I saw her face.
And her face was facing down on the other side of, like, an ottoman or what happened? Uh-huh.
So what she had is her chair, and she had an ottoman connected to her chair. Well, not connected, but it was like in front of her chair.
Right,
and
right.
Where her face wasn't. It's like how you lay on a pillow. You lay on your on your ear, the side of your face.
Right.
That's how she was laying, but on the cushion of the chair.
I see, but over the ottoman.
Yes.
Got it. Like somebody has slid down, so to speak, into.
Slid down
onto the ottoman
or something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. How sad. How sad. Did you remember the expression or anything? Could you remember this?
Honestly, it looked like she was asleep.
Wow.
So it wasn't
just
like, you know, it wasn't kind of like distress or anything in her face or anything like that. It was like she was asleep.
Wow. Wow. So at this point, they, of course, come in all the emergency folks, and, you know, this is huge news. What's the first thing that really went through your mind after the emergency folks said that it seemed that she had passed? Did they share that with you right away?
They did. I was on the phone with my mom. I was on the phone with her up and down. I would call Turquesta and call my mom, or Turquesta would call me that I'd hang with my mom and kind of like that. So I went off with my mom, and I walked outside. The police officer, I do remember that. It was a police officer. It was a short, fat police officer. I don't know why I remember that, but it's the only thing I remember of, like, a visual of a person. Uh-huh. And he walked outside, and he said, sorry for your loss. She did pass away. I said, oh. I go in there, I can say it was oh.
Well, you were surprised and in shock. So that's, you know, you could have said something, you know, happy birthday. You don't know what's going to come out of your mouth at a time like that. Wow.
And my mom was like, well, what did he say? And I said, she died. And my mom was like, well, are you okay? And I'm like, I don't know. And she goes, what are you thinking about? I'm like trying to explain how am I going to call her daughter and tell her daughter this?
Yeah, that's that is that's a real difficult thing, but it was your job to do. It was your job to do. So you call her back right away, or you wait a little while?
No, I hung up from my mom, and I did call her back, because I kind of was like, it was like one of those, like, just rip the Band-Aid off moments and just kind of just do it, because it kind of was, I didn't know what to say. Trying to figure out what to say, so as the phone is ringing, I'm like, what do I say? What do I say? And then she says hello, and I said she died. And that's
and
what, that's all I
could what was it, silence on the phone?
Yep, it was complete silence, and then all you heard was her curse. Voice crack, and she started to cry. And then that's when I started to break down.
Wow.
And then her husband grabbed the phone and said, hey, Nick, we're going to have to call you back. Because they were already, they lived in California, so they were already on their way here. Well, not here, but to Vegas. To, you know, make sure everything was okay.
Wow.
So, that's when the call around back, and I told her. And then it seemed like after that, my phone did not stop ringing.
Really? Why?
The publicist calling. And
Mary's publicist.
Yes, the publicist calling. He was pleasant the first time we spoke. He was. The publicist calling, then the my family calling. Other people.
Well, without saying the publicist's name, but what was it that the publicist was instructing you? Don't mention his name, though.
Oh, no. Okay. No, he was telling me, you know, to pretty much, you know, just don't say anything. And I told him, I said, well, I really don't know much to say. And he said, okay. So, like, I just want to make sure you know that, you know, anyone says anything or anything like that, I just went to, you know, just tell them to either call me or call Turquesa. I said, okay. He was like, Turquesa should be on her way. So, like I said, it was pleasant. And then, like I said, after that was kind of a blur. I remember getting being nervous because the police officer opened his back door and said, you know, get in. And I'm thinking is, oh my God, I'm under arrest. What did I, you know, what happened? Mm. I said, I've never been in a situation like this before, so I don't know what to think.
Mm.
And so I'm on the phone with my mom, and I'm like, well, they have me sitting in the police car. And he could tell I was hesitant to get in. And he was like, no, 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 you're not in trouble or anything. He's like, I know it. He's like, it's starting to get dark outside and it's cold. And you have shorts on, so I just wanted to just keep warm. And I said, oh, okay. So
wow.
I'm sitting in the car, he's in the front seat, and the police officer calls his family, and he's just like, I just want to tell you because I love you. So it was kind of like one of those moments of like, you know, I don't know who he called, but it was like one of those, like, maybe it hit home for him or something. And like I said, the only reason why I can remember him is because it's the only person I really had an encounter with as far as, like, physically talking to.
Right. Wow.
But there was one man who knew who she was. And it was another police officer, and he was like, the music industry has suffered a big loss. He was like, I'm sorry for your loss also. He was like, my mom goes, what do you say? Like, he knew who she was. And she's like, oh, Lord. And I said, well, he went to school, I guess went to school with, that's what he said, I went to school with her children. But he's the only person I could say that in the time of us being around each other, anyone identified her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, what happened after all of this happened? Did you stay out in Las Vegas for any length of time? How has this affected your life?
Honestly, yeah. I couldn't. The Vegas was depressing.
Yeah. You had grown very fond of her. You had grown very fond of her.
Well, it wasn't even just the 3 years. It was, like I said, I looked up to her since I was 8.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
So I was with the connection as a kid. And then the personal connection as an adult.
Exactly. And you can hear that in your telling and recounting this story. I'm just blown away. Now, I have to ask you, have you had any contact with any of these folks since that period?
Actually, yes. I called the publicist, actually, not too long ago. I manage, at the present time, I manage a rapper.
An artist, right? Yeah. Okay.
And I was talking to a producer I met in L.A., and he also works with a female who is a rapper and singer. And we were thinking of a possible collaboration, and he was like, I would love to do something like an R&B song that could be like, you know, turned into a hip-hop song. And I said, well, there's only one song I could think of that comes to mind when you say that was turned into a hip-hop song, and that was Can't Take My Eyes Off of You by
Frankie Valli, I think, in the fourth season.
Yeah.
Right.
The Supremes redid it with the Temptations, where Mary Wilson sang lead, and if I'm not mistaken, Eddie Kendricks and Mary Wilson did a duet on that. And
I'll have to look for that.
Hill turned into a hip hop song.
Right. Like in the 90s, I think they did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had contacted the publicist to see if he knew any information about who I had to contact to get rights to use songs, or did I have to get rights to use songs.
Right, for licensing and all of that. Yeah, so he was open to the idea of working with you on that.
He was open to, now he was pleasant in those conversations, but everything prior, no, actually, it was to the point where I changed my phone number.
Oh, my.
So the phone number that you have for me was not my original phone number.
Wow, that is amazing. Well, I have to tell you, the one thing that I have to turn to this, and is this something that has stayed with you? Because to me, you know, I might find it at times, you know, like you've lost someone who, she was a loved one on a certain level to you. So do you find from time to time that you're affected, you know, has it affected you like that on that level, or is this something that you can kind of, you know, compartmentalize, so to speak? So how have you been since all of this?
I will say, when I was in Vegas, I cried almost every time I thought about it, whether I was crying going to sleep or waking up, panic attacks, little different things, because I just kept re-seeing her face in that chair.
That was definitely
the first time I saw a newscast, and it was like a newscast. They post on Facebook like such and such passed away.
Right,
and goes,
right.
Mary Wilson of the Supremes, founding member of the Supremes, has died, and then my heart dropped. Like I said before, it was like losing two different people. I always, wow. had, as a kid, I always had this dream of Diana and Mary getting back together to do something. So when it was, when she said that.
Well, how much after that? So how long after she died that, or that was reported that she died, that you saw that posting on Facebook or on social media?
About a week.
Oh, okay. So it was.
It was still.
Oh, okay, you had stayed off. Okay, got it.
But I ended up leaving Vegas in April for the reason of everywhere I went, there was some type of reminding. Whether
or some reminding, sure.
We was at TGI Fridays, and there was this big, huge picture of the Supremes sitting right behind me. And I didn't realize it until I turned around and looked up, and then there it was. Like little things like that just kept, and I just couldn't. I had to go back home to get my head together. I was alone. Although I left my cousin next to my cousin, was a traveling chef. So he felt bad because the day she died, he had to go to Chicago to do a gig. But I was, I didn't know anybody in Vegas. I moved to Vegas for her. So it's kind of like, what am I here for, honestly? I had no motivation to really do anything, honestly. So what I felt was best for me was to come back home and get my head together. Did I want to come back to Ohio? No. But I felt like it was the best thing for me to do mentally. And I will say, been back has been nothing but great. And looking up, honestly, and it honestly has nothing to really do with her or, well, actually, there is one thing that has to do with her, I feel like, but it's just me mentally, I feel a lot better.
And time is the best healer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And remember how I was telling about, you know, things coming full circle?
Yes.
And how she was telling me, you know, she's preparing me for what I'll be doing in the future.
Yes.
What she was showing me was how to, like, put together press kits, well, EPK, electronic press kit.
Sure, sure.
She was showing me how to send emails and, you know, blind CC and the difference between...
She was doing something amazing. I mean, Mary was in her 70s, and to be that technologically savvy... and being able to, when you said texting, I'm like, goodness, I mean, I can barely text at this age. So that is awesome. She was remarkable.
You know, she was showing me how to do all these different things. And
wow.
In October was hosting October 28th, I want to say. I was hosting a Halloween party. 28th, 29th, something like that. I was hosting a Halloween party, and I asked this guy I knew from here. I asked him if he would want to perform at the party. And yes. And then he also responded after, you know, further down the conversation, which one would be my manager? I'm like, okay. And as I'm thinking, the first thing he mentions is, I've seen everything that you did with Mary Wilson or meeting her and the Supremes and, you know, everything you do, you know, post about them and all that. He's like, I really like that. He's like, I see that you network with all these different people. He's like, I want someone like you on my team. Very similar to what she told me when she hired me as her assistant. So there's that coincidence right there. Very similar to what she said. And then the year that me and him met was the exact same year me and her met. in 2018.
That's amazing.
I had a birthday party. I had a birthday party at my apartment, and my best friend and her boyfriend, they came over and they stayed the night at my apartment, and I had let's have a party tonight. And she said, okay. So her boyfriend was like, well, can I invite some of my friends? And I said, yeah, sure. You see who all here? And it was just me, him, and her. I said, you see, I ain't got no friends. So invite whoever you want. And so he started laughing. He was like, okay. So he invited his friend. And his friend, Tyler, who was Sir James, came. And that's where we met. They were... It was kind of weird to me because I've never really seen someone excited about, but they saw I had this big collage of the Supremes albums on my wall. And they were like, wow, this is cool. And we actually discussed that when we sat down and met to discuss me being his manager. I hated that apartment. I just felt something about that apartment just had bad vibes to me, and I just, the energy of it just made me feel down and depressed. And the whole 2 years I lived there, something about that apartment just did not seem right to me.
Wow.
I did not like it, didn't want to be there at all. So I said, yeah, I don't mind being your manager. So I was like, well, let's just meet in person and have, to talk, because we had not seen each other since we saw each other at my apartment 3 years prior to, 3-4 years prior to this Halloween party or whatever. So we sit down and we have, we meet at Denny's, and I had just got off work, so that was the only restaurant that was open. We meet at Denny's and we're sitting there talking, and said it again. He's like, I see everything that you're doing with the Supremes. Well, you talked about the Supremes and how dedicated you are to them. He was like, someone like you is who I want, someone who could be dedicated to me and, help me better myself and my career. And I told him what I would expect out of him if I'm going to be working with him. And he said, I can do that. And it wasn't anything complicated. It was more so just what I am installing in him is the method that Maxine Powell has taught into every single Motown artist of how to present yourself as not only a person, but an artist to the public. Certain things.
Well, Nicholas, let me jump in and ask you. So what are you looking for down the road? What would you like? Because this is, something that, as I said, is going to stay with you. It would stay with me. What are you looking for this lesson to be that, and what are you looking down the road to accomplish for yourself? What would make Styles happy?
The lesson, I would say, lesson I got out of this is that, this lesson I got out of it, as well as that I want to push forward to everyone. Never let anyone or anything deter you from your dreams. Because even if it's the smallest thing, if it's something that you have your mindset to do, do it. Because that's one thing she kept trying to install in me, as well as other people in my life, too. All my life, I've always had that. But that's kind of what I got out of it. And then for me, for the future, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't see myself really being a manager, maybe more of a mentor. And I feel like that's what I kind of am for him, for Sir James. I'm more of a mentor than I am a manager. I'm helping him, further his career, getting shows and things like that. But I see myself, like I said, more as a mentor, a guider, so that he can be ready for that. But I see myself, owning my own boutique. And honestly, ultimately, I'm just happy. I really don't really have any goals, I guess you could say. Just happiness and wealth in that sense.
And you've got to remember, folks out there, Nicholas is still a very, very young man. He's still very young. You have your whole life ahead of you, and many times to start over and over and over again. So, and, you know, when I listen to your story and the whole thing with Mary Wilson of the Supremes, and looking at you and kind of knowing that she wanted to mentor you, to me it seems as though someone was not so much aware of their own mortality, but that they knew they wanted to pass along. I think the older that we get, and God forbid if there's any illness or anything like that, we want to share what we know with the younger generation, with someone who can carry my story or your story forward. I think that's the idea. And so I think to me it sounded as if she was privy to that notion, and I think that's why you were the person. And so your lives will forever be touched. Literally, they crossed, you know, they intersected, if you will. And that is a remarkable story. I am just blown away. And Nicholas Stiles, one thing that we did close just yet is that you will be helping us right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we're so excited. We're going to fill you guys in on all of that in times and days to come. But I just have to say, this has been a remarkable story, and I'm sure your story will continue and go on. And so thank you. Nicholas, anything you want to leave us with today?
My favorite quote from Mary Wilson, since this is the subject at hand, my favorite quote from her is, "Dreams do come true. People just have to keep dreaming." And that's all I have to say.
Okay, well, on that note, I want to thank Mr. Nicholas Stiles for being with us on today's broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show. His incredible story in the last days, literally, of a singing icon and Supremes singer, Mary Wilson. So again,
you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, we're back live. It is Friday morning, February 11th of 2022. It is just an amazing day, really, here on the broadcast. As you guys have heard, we've been kind of replaying the recent interview from Mr. Nicholas Stiles. Now, again, he is the last assistant to singing superstar from the Supremes, Mary Wolfson. And for the very first time, he's going to be with us live in just a moment, right here on the air. There are questions folks have. And just to remind you guys out there, if you have a question, please press 1 to ask your question directly to Nicholas. I'm excited to have him here with us. We've certainly introduced him to our fans a few times here since we did the interview. And I just want to get him on the line, and we'll take it from there. So without further ado, folks, it is my great pleasure and sincere honor to welcome the one and only Mr. Nicholas Stiles to the broadcast. Good morning. Happy Friday, Nicholas.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Yes, yes. And I just love Nicholas's voice, very quiet and subdued. Nicholas, good morning to you. I have to tell you that not in a long while, and you know, we've had some amazing, great stories being told right here on the radio show. We've had stories from the folks who created Good Times and, you know, George Jefferson character and all those What's Happening type, you know, the folks behind that. We've had, you know, Prince's hairstylist. We've had, you know, Whitney's cousin, Dionne Warwick, and so many folks on the show. But I don't think I've had a recent guest that has resonated with the fans of this broadcast so very much like Nicholas Stiles and his story on, you know, literally the last days of Mary Wolfson. So I just want to say, first of all, you know, this is an incredible, really unbelievable, I called it a saga. I really did. It's something that is very interesting to folks, and you have the attention of people out there who have been listening to you on this. So today we're going to catch up. I'm going to find out what you've been up to and some of the things that you're planning for the near future and then on from there. So first of all, Mr. Nicholas, again, welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show. And I mean that in many different ways. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But how are you doing this morning?
Good, good. I would say tired, but I'm not even tired. I'm honestly, I wish I was tired. I have to work with it later today.
Well, you know,
and
yeah, go right ahead.
No, I'm going to say I have to work later today, and I know that I'll be tired at work. So. But it's like I said, it's more of a me thing.
Okay, because you really are more of a night person, so to speak.
Yes.
You're a late, you know, I'm more of a morning person now because I have to be. So that's always a good thing. Plus, you're a lot younger. When you're younger, you know, you tend to want to stay up late. That's just the way it goes. I don't know too many young people who rise at 6 o'clock every morning or 5 o'clock every morning unless they have to. So that's the thing on that. So listen, Nicholas, I want to kind of get on into this. It's, you know, we've got to talk about this. It's been 1 year since we lost Mary Wolfson. And that's kind of what really spring all of this into action for me, so to speak. We just literally passed on that 1 year mark for the late Mary Wolfson. What has this, well, let me just ask you, what has the year been like for you? What has this incredible time period since, and what is the anniversary of her death meant to, you know, what does it mean to you? So please take a moment, please share all of that.
Not this year, but last year. Last year was, it started up because, of course, I moved to Vegas in January to go work for him. So it started up and, you know, I'm thinking, you know, my year is going to be made. And then February comes, you know, she passes. So February, March, and April, and May, it kind of was like going, you know, down. And then I moved back to Ohio, Vegas. And as soon as I got back, everything started, like, not going up, but, you know, getting better. and better than it was last time out, you know, before I left. I won't say last time I was here, but before I left. You know, work-wise, financially, you know, things started moving forward. I think leaving to go to Vegas and then coming back to Ohio was the, I guess, clarity I needed to know that I can move further than just my norm surroundings. So, like I said, once I got back, things started moving, progressing. And, you know, now that we're at the 1 year mark, I'm actually in a very good place, mentally and financially.
Wow. Okay, well, that's actually, that is a good thing to hear, because, you know, we were concerned. That is, that's a very big thing, to be quite honest with you. Now, I have to tell everybody, just to let folks know, if you're just joining us, we're live. It is Friday morning, February 11th, 2022. It's our show number 671, and we're broadcasting. It's about 8:20 in the morning, New York time, 7:20 for folks in Central time zone. My guest today is with us, and Nicholas, I'm going to just take a moment and say this. You actually made history on our broadcast today. Nicholas Stiles has literally, and I've been doing this, you know, the Hair Radio Show since 1995. I think it's my first time ever having one guest on for 3 hours, the entire show. So if you guys have missed part of the earlier part of the show, the first couple of hours, that was a replay of Nicholas sharing the entire story with us. And now we have him on live, as you can hear. He's with us live on this Friday morning. And boy, oh boy, do we have a lot to get into this morning. So we're just getting started, Nicholas. I hope you got some strong coffee. Now, listen, I've got to ask you a couple of questions on this. First of all, you recently went back to Las Vegas. Is this my understanding? Yeah. Because you're based out in the Cleveland area. So this is your first time, I believe, going back to Vegas, you know, kind of, sort of. So what was this prompted because of Mary's anniversary of her death? Or what has prompted you to go out there? And how did you feel being back in Las Vegas, the very scene of the last days of Mary Wilson? What can you tell us?
I will say it was planned in the way of making, you know, it was the anniversary trip or whatever. But I actually got I got booked to do a show out in Las Vegas, and which was the 6th of February. And I said, okay, well, you know, I'm going to go out there. The artist that I work with, which we'll talk about later, he was booked to do a show on the 1st. So I was like, why don't we just go from the 1st to the 7th? Well, I thought I booked the play ticket to the 7th. We didn't end up leaving to the 9th. I don't know how I messed that up, but so we were there for the anniversary of her death. And like I said, it wasn't planned that way. Like I said, I was supposed to leave the 7th, you know, that right after the show that I had booked, and then, you know, be back in Ohio. But I did go back to work. Being that I was never allowed to the funeral, I don't know really where she's buried at. I know the cemetery, but I don't know where it's, like, her plot is at. So I did go back to her house.
You and, did?
Kind of like...
Hold it. Did you just say you went back to her house on this recent trip out to Vegas?
Mm-hmm. Of course. I mean, I don't think. Well, the house was a rental house, a rental property. So I'm sure someone lives in the house now. But I went back kind of like to reflect.
What went through your mind? What was the reflection that you can tell us about?
I went back and reflected on, you know, the 3 weeks that we spent in the house, and you know, then the 3 years that we spent building our relationship. She was my mentor before I was your assistant.
Absolutely. And she Yes.
So that was what I, you know, was reflecting on. Then reflecting on, you know, that was the good part and then the bad part. Her, you know, her daughter never paying me for the time that I did work for. And it wasn't even much she owed me. It was I had only been in Vegas a month. She only owed me a month of pay, which would have been $1,500.
Right. Wow.
And they never, to this day, I have not received payment, never received a message on will there be a payment. About a week or so ago, I actually texted her daughter, and pretty much asking, you know, hey, you know, it's been a year. Will there be any type of payment made? No response. So I don't know. Honestly, I'm honest with you. I'm not holding my breath. I don't think I'm going to get the money, nor do I really need the money. But I actually told you earlier I wasn't going to talk about this, but I think I'm going to just say it. Actually, I'm out of court. And I'm saying this because, like I said, I don't need the money. $1,500. I don't really need it. But it's the principle. And you don't, business-wise, you don't make agreements and you don't do things like that. And then just because you don't feel like it, you don't pay someone.
Wow.
Like I said, I don't think $1,500 would set her back anything.
Right.
There was no type of care of, the last thing she told me after her mom passed away was, if you have anything of my mom's, drop it off at the P.O. box and take care of yourself. No type of care of, you know, well, I know you moved out here, you don't have anything. So I told her I moved out there with $20. So there was some type of care of like, well, do you have anything? Do you have any, you know, do you need a plane ticket back home? You know, I'd have been fine with a how are you doing. There was nothing. So.
Well, yes. Go right ahead, Nicholas.
No. I was going to say employer, that's employer neglect.
Well, let me just jump on in. I just want to say this. We reached out to Mary's. As of this moment, we have not heard any response. So I just wanted to officially put that on out there. Listen, I want to turn to a couple of the items that I know folks have questions. I see some folks already standing by to ask a question. We're live on this Friday, folks. If you have a question, and let me tell you something, this is huge. This is a huge, huge story. If you have a question for Nicholas, myself, or any of this, please a comment. Press 1 if you've dialed in on the 516 number. And if you are listening from a link, in order to ask a question, you have to dial the 516 number and then press 1. So there are tons of folks out there tuned in right now. I see it. So if you have a question for Nicholas, press 1. Nicholas, we've got a lot to get to this morning on this entire story, and we are just getting started. Okay, so I just want folks to know. First, we're going to take a little bit. This is a tribute to Mary. So I've got, you know, my favorite song that I told you guys recently, you know, that I just love Mary's song. I love all of the things that she was lead on in the Supremes and all of that. But I just want to take a moment to tell everybody first, Mary was huge. The Supremes were huge. You're talking about Michael Jackson, Beatles style huge. They were on Ed Sullivan's show, for God's sakes, for folks old enough to remember that. And the relationship, there's so many layers to this. Of course, it inspired the Dreamgirls movie. There was all kinds of tension, so it appeared to us on the outside, between your two favorite singers in the group, Supreme singer Mary Wilson, and of course, super singing star Diana Ross, who went on to an incredible, very successful solo career. And again, so we're going to talk about all of that. And also, I have a couple of things that you're doing now that you want folks to know about. And one big question that we're going to ask you a little later, you know, to weigh in on, and that is, you know, did Mary leave you or give you anything that she may have wanted you to have or wanted you to have? So we'll ask you those questions when we come back from this little little honorary music break with none other than the one and only Miss Mary Wilson. And again, this is one of the remakes that she did. And then my favorite song, again, I love this song too, but I'll also get my favorite on a little later from Mary as well. So lots more to get to this morning. And just before we go to the music break, I just want to be sure that you guys are aware. If you've missed any part of this incredible story, for you guys who are on Spotify, it's there. You can literally type in Carrie Hines podcast. You can also put in Nicholas Stiles. You can put in Mary Wilson and all this. And the podcast should pop up. And the podcast plays the entire story, the entire backstory to this. So very, very important. Just and plus we'll share this after today's broadcast. So we're live this morning again with Nicholas Stiles. It's Friday, February 11th. Here's our music break. This is Mary Wilson's remake of this amazing song. So stay with us. We've got a lot more to go.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines. Stay tuned.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. Yes, we are on this Friday morning. It's February 11th of 2022. It's hour show number 671. New York time is about 8:37 here in my neck of the woods here in Brooklyn. It's quite a warm day, getting up to almost 60 degrees. And I have to say, we've been chatting this morning, literally the entire show. I said it's history-making. It's been devoted to one very special guest who had a very, very close relationship with Supreme superstar singer Mary Wilson. And it's this is so many different layers to it. As you guys know, Mary passed away about a year ago, and just an incredible story. We don't think that she was ever able to unite with Diana Ross, as so many of us had hoped for along the way that we know of. But I want to take a moment to welcome back our guest today. He's with us live, folks. So, Mr. Nicholas Stiles, if you have a question for Nicholas, press 1. We'll get your question on. Nicholas Stiles, welcome again to the Hair Radio Morning Show. This is your first time being with us live on the airwaves. So, good morning to you.
Right. Good morning.
Yes. Now, you are out in the Cleveland, Ohio area. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Not bad. We've been out to Cleveland, Maple Heights and all that. We have some great, I think the mayor is a good friend of ours, or Annette Blackwell. She was the mayor out there, and so we're shouting her out this morning. Now, listen, I want to get to this. Right before the break, we said we'll get to ask you, what did Mary set aside for Nicholas, and we're going to talk about that. So first, I want to ask you, now, for you guys out there who are familiar with the Dream Girls connection, and if you're not, let's kind of, we'll go over that a little bit. Dream Girls was this gigantic movie that launched the career of Jennifer Hudson, but the play launched the career of Jennifer Holliday, if you guys remember, when she had the big voice
and singing. You know, so my big question for you, based on this, it was really kind of based on the story of the third member of the Supremes group, Florence Ballard, who obviously had passed away from, it almost seemed like neglect to some folks. And so that's what inspired, or what we believe inspired, the play Dreamgirls, which went on to lead to the movie, and so forth and so on. So my question to you is, since this this all kind of sprang out of that, you have developed, well, you describe it for us, because you have had a chance to talk or connect with the you know, the Supreme singer, Florence Ballard, who passed away, you know, from, you know, all the problems and so forth that arise or came out of the original true to life situation. So tell us a little bit about your connection with Florence's daughter is what I'm driving at. And I understand there's a book. So tell us what you can share.
I met Florence's daughters, Michelle and Nicole, back in 2019 in Detroit. From there, I don't remember if it was before or after, but I had met an author. Had, I ran the Supremes fan club for my generation. So that would be today's generation of fans. And I get a random message on Facebook asking for pictures for a book. Now I've gotten messages like that previously, or before, I should say. But I, you know, would say okay, and, you know, send them in pictures, and nothing really come of it. So, but me and her stayed in contact, and we became friends. Her name is Nicole Smith, but she goes by 20220.
Oh,
so,
okay, wow.
What happened was her and Nicole Chapman teamed up, and they wrote Supreme Exit, which is the story of Florence Ballard after the Supreme. So it really doesn't really talk about her life as a Supreme. It talks more about, like, her home life and her daughter's life, you know, after her mom passed away and things like that.
Yes, because that was really, that's what kind of triggered everything, so to speak, in my opinion. Wow. Okay, so again, this story has a lot of layers to it. Listen, folks, if you're just tuning in, again, I'm Carrie Hines today, and it's Friday morning, February 11th of 2022. We're talking with the last assistant of Mary Wilson, Supremes singer, superstar, to those of us out here. We would see pictures of the three of them, Diana Ross, Florence Ballard, and, of course, Mary Wilson. And we would see them getting on and off airplanes, mixing it up with these superstar singers out there, looking glamorous, absolutely glamorous. And in your telling of it right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, it seemed to me that Mary Wilson always possessed a sense of class and style that seems to be missing, in my opinion, as just me raising my hand, in a lot of today's artists. What do you think? And you're one of these members of the younger generation. How do you feel about that, Nicholas Stiles?
I definitely do think, well, I don't think, I know Mary exuded class and sexiness and elegance, but sexiness in a way that wasn't provocative to the public, if that makes sense. Like, she wasn't half naked. And her sexiness was, I guess, what we would call today a vibe. It really wasn't a look. It was a vibe. The vibe she gave off was sexy, which was her nickname in the group. She was the sexy one.
Is that right? Wow.
Mm-hmm. If you listen to any of the Supreme Live albums.
She was a beautiful lady.
Yes, she was. And it's not often, it wasn't really mentioned back then, but today, you know, where, you know, dark skin beauty and black beauty is celebrated now.
Right.
She was the pretty chocolate girl out of the group.
Yes.
And
wow.
I would say one of the most the most underrated. If you watch Dreamgirls, you see how Laurel is very underrated in the group.
Right.
You really don't know what Laurel's talents are because no one really talks about what Laurel can do. They always talk about Esty or Dina. Same with Supreme. They always talk about Diana and Florence.
Yes. And, boy, let me just mention that we have such a connection to everybody here at the show. Let me just make sure I drop it at this moment. Dina, who the character in the Dreamgirls movie, was played by Beyonce, of course. And we interviewed Beyonce's dad on our very show, who talked about launching her career. So that's out there as well. You can Google Carrie Hines and Matthew Knowles, and that'll pop up. Just thought I'd drop it on in. You know, as they say, name drop here and there. Listen, Nicholas, we got to work it on in. I want to take a moment and talk about some of the things that you're working on now. Now, I'm very impressed with this. You did not just, you know, go and crawl, just go away and not be heard of again. And this was a question I remember asking to Princess Hairstylist, who had been with him for 30 years, who was on our show, and I asked, you know, after Pass, you know, what did you do? She said people expected her to just go disappear, but she has an entire career. And I wanted to ask you the same question. So now, you know, you have an amazing stage career that we can talk about. You're still doing fashion things. And, of course, you're coming to the Hair Radio Morning Show. So I don't know, where should we start? Let's talk about your artist that you're also working with. So jump right on in.
Well, I want to start with what you said about, you know, what I do after Mary Wilson. Well,
yes.
I would say this: my life wasn't, you know, surrounded by that. I was going to be Nicholas Style, you know, kind of. And I don't want to say this to sound. I'm not saying this to sound cocky. I was going to be Nicholas Styles without working for Mary Wilson, or, you know, being connected to Mary Wilson. I always had dreams of, you know, doing something bigger than, like I said, my norm or the people around me. I've always been into fashion, being a fashion designer. I was always into makeup and hair, and I always had a dream since I was in first grade to own my own boutique, Styles by Styles.
Wow.
So, no, like I said, I wouldn't have ran and hid, you know, after, or, you know, been scared. And that's why I said what I said about, you know, her daughter, you know, not being paid.
Right. Right. Right.
It was said to me by, you know, many different people, well, you know, give her time, you know, and I did. I gave her a year. And I said, no. Type of communication, no type of anything, no type of anything within the year. And I even reached out to myself more than once.
Yes. And Nicholas, I have some advice I think is going to help, some things that we're going to talk about after we wrap today's live broadcast. And I think it'll help point you in the right direction as well. On this issue and on this matter. Listen, I want to take a moment. Please tell everybody, you represent one of the other aspects that you're doing, one of the things you're working on. You have an artist. Tell us about your artist, because I heard he's incredible. So tell us who he is and what he's all about.
He's also from, let's say, my hometown. So that's actually how we connected. His best friend was dating my best friend at the time. That's how we became aware of each other. And he asked me, you know, to be his manager. You know, I'm like, I'm not really into, you know, rap, anything like that. So let me check your music out before I can even agree to doing this. Helping, you know, network and meet people. So I'm listening to his music. I'm like, well, he's really good. I even had my mom listen to it. So I'm like, maybe I'm, you know, I'm like, let me ask for a second opinion. Maybe my judgment is clouded or something because I'm trying to be nice. And I'm like, let me ask for a second opinion. And my mom was like, no.
And Nicholas, we probably only have about 60 seconds. So tell us a little bit. What's his name, first of all?
Sir James. This is his name. He also released an album on Christmas called Premeditated, which you can stream on any platform you listen to music, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, everywhere.
And I love it. He spells it with two R's, so it's S-I-R-R,
yes.
Second word, James.
Thank you for
so you guys can Google that. Yes, no problem. Listen, Nicholas, I want to kind of tell folks, I promised this at the top of our talk today, that we want to find out, what did Mary leave you? Did she pass along some, maybe some sage advice, a memento? I think folks want to know, was there something special that you received that you can share with us? Because I know there's a whole lot of things going on behind the scenes. But what can you tell the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show today?
I'm happy you re-mentioned that because actually spoke back to your question about what am I doing now. When I first got to Vegas, she gave me a present, and she was like, "I know you." I was like, "I know you want to do drag and getting to doing drag." So she was like, "I have these earrings that they were too big for me, and I want to give these to you." So she said, "Whenever you do your first show, I want you to wear these." I didn't wear them because I didn't go with my outfit that I had, but. She gave me a pair of black iridescent earrings. And besides that was the material thing she gave me. But
what does that mean to you to have something personally from her like that?
It was like receiving a gift from like a family member, like a grandmother or something.
Wow.
It was like, oh, wow, you thought of me to, do this.
Yeah.
Found out that she actually wore them. I didn't know she wore them because she didn't like them. I found out there's a video of her on Good Morning America wearing those earrings.
Wow. That was just, wow. That's amazing.
I was going through YouTube one day and I found the video, came across it, and I was like, oh, wow, these are the exact same earrings I have. But I will say
I hope you can take a picture one day. You can take a picture and send it over, and we'll share that with the fans of this show, for the members of hairradio.com, perhaps something to think about. Listen, I want to say, yes, first of all, let me just go back a little bit. Again, this has been a live broadcast today. It's Friday, February 11th of 2022. It's been our show number 671, show 671. So we're going to share it across our social media. You'll be able to certainly go to Google and literally type in the five words, the Hair Radio Morning Show, and this very broadcast will pop up. So I have to say, Nicholas, we just appreciate you here. Now, I know that you'll be coming back to us soon. What are some of the things that you want to bring to the Hair Radio Morning Show? I know some new fans, and you are part of the younger generation, but you also have a toe in the like an old soul, so to speak, in a good way. But what are some of the things you want to bring to the Hair Radio Morning Show?
Besides myself, honestly, I like you said, new fans. Maybe a different view. You know, like you said, the younger view, younger generational view.
Yes. And I hope you still continue with all of the music because I follow you on social media as well, and I see that you do a lot of postings. Paying tribute to these legendary artists who literally had their heyday before you were born and in some cases before I was born. So I know that you will continue to shine the light on these artists, and it means something to you. And that's what really – go right ahead. What would you like to say?
No, I'm going to say one thing I want to say before we do, but associated with that, is our black artists, our older artists, don't get the credit that they deserve. You hear Elvis and the Beatles get, you know, all this praise, but you have people like the Temptations, the Four Tops, old Motown artists in general, black artists in general, I should say, from that time that really don't get the shine, and that's kind of what I want to do. I've always said one of the things I want to do is, you know,
shine a light. Listen, I think you've just given us the what I call the impetus for your show. I think it is to shine the light on legendary artists through their music and retelling of their story. And I don't think anybody can do a better job than Nicholas Stiles. So I think that's a great lane for you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, you've got it. So listen, I just want to say, again, this has been an extraordinary show. You have literally made history. The very first time ever we've had one guest for 3 hours on this broadcast. It's never happened. There hasn't been too many folks. Well, I won't say there hasn't been it, that we have had the subject folks, you know, to the artists or whatever we have. We've had amazing folks. But this is one of the times that it's telling us that we can tell a story and we can share content and information that is really interesting. So I'm going to say this has been an extraordinary show. Nicholas, before we go, my last question to you, what is next? We know that you're coming to our show. Is your big focus now on your fashion career? What can you tell us? And we'll let you go today.
I'll be doing more drag shows, performing live. And
we'll have to put your scheduled performance date. Yes, we'll put those dates on our website. I was just going to say that. What about your artist?
Yeah, I could. Working with him, getting him more shows also.
Can you bring him here to our show?
Yes, if you'll have him. You know, he can do,
yes,
he can do a full
absolutely.
3 hours too. I'm just joking. But no, I definitely would.
Sir James, okay, that's the artist. Wow, good stuff.
And then,
okay.
And then like you said, with the fashion.
Yes, the fashion is big. The fashion is big. And I want to see a picture of those earrings. So when you get a chance, take a picture for us. Listen, Nicholas, I want to say thank you. Again, it's been my honor. I'm Carrie Hines. We've been chatting with the one and only Mr. Nicholas Stiles. This entire information, this entire episode is available in just a couple minutes. You can Google it. And it'll pop up. Again, you type in 5 words in the search box, The Hair Radio Morning Show. And also our podcasts are out on Spotify and 13 other platforms. So please, we're everywhere. And Nicholas, we will kind of keep your fans informed when you're returning to the show. I want to say thank you again. You have been worth every minute of the 3 hours, sir. Great job.
Thank
Great
you.
Job.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, you got it. All right, folks, I'm going to get the outro started. Again, thank you for being a part of this experience this morning. We'll be back. Let me just tell everybody, we'll be back on Tuesday, which is the day after Valentine's Day, with a new episode. So we'll be back on that 15th, Tuesday the 15th, with a new fella, Eugene Davis, will be with us about 7:30, and then 8:30, of course, Vet Talk Radio Show with Michael Hopkins and Michael's Angels. So listen, we'll talk then, and have a great Valentine's weekend, Super Bowl weekend, whatever you're doing. We'll see you back here next week for a brand new Hair Radio Morning Show. Go to our website at hairradio.com to continue this conversation. Thank you. Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio Broadcast Network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our legacy advertisers. These are the folks who've been supporting our show over the years, including Dr. Raglan, Yolanda Raglan at FixYourFeet.com. They are the very best in foot care. She has 2 locations, one in New York City and the other in Maryland. I also want to take a moment to acknowledge the amazing
Troy Ballard, of course, from the West Coast out in Southern California. His company is called Smooth Black Ink. Now, he offers the very, very best in hair care for the entire family. He is a legendary hairstylist and educator. And also, he's a program host right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We just appreciate him again. That's Troy Ballard, a.k.a. Smooth Black of Smooth Black Ink. Also, we are talking about a complete line of products for the guys now. It's at Rugged Evolution. Now, Rugged Evolution Beard Care is the actual name of the company. Rugged Evolution Beard Care makes a complete line. I love their products. Go to www.rugged.com.